Happy Tuesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, should investors chase the pending wave of trillion-dollar IPOs? The short answer is, historical data of mega-cap tech IPOs suggests long-term investors who have emotional fortitude and or low liquidity preference required to ride out significant drawdowns can do well with the set-it-and-forget-it approach. History suggests, however, that risk-aware investors who are emotionally able to sit out the initial euphoria are likely to get a far better price to acquire the shares within the first year of trading. This frequentist probability signal that prudence is likely to be rewarded by the market is consistent with our Bayesian party like it's 1998 thesis. In terms of our analytical nuance, SpaceX IPO books are oversubscribed ahead of the closing on Wednesday. This comes amid OpenAI confidentially filing for a public listing Monday, becoming the third major AI developer to do so, and joining an IPO pipeline now valued at roughly $3.6 trillion. SpaceX has targeted an IPO valuation near $1.8 trillion. Anthropic raised capital at $965 billion valuation last month, and OpenAI was valued at $852 billion in its March funding round. Bloomberg is reporting that surges in IPO activity have historically preceded lower market returns and compressed price-to-earnings multiples. Their data show the 30 largest technology IPOs over the past 15 years averaged a maximum drawdown of 55% in their first year of trading. Let me read that again. Their data shows the 30 largest technology IPOs over the past 15 years averaged a maximum drawdown of 55% within their first year of trading. The average performance of the stock price over the first week and year of trading were 4% and 14% respectively. 17 of the 30, or 57%, were down a year from their IPO listing price. So take note of that. As always, we'll wrap up with a question from our community. This one's titled the 60-40 question. It says, new subscriber here, says, so KISS seems configured as of now to maintain the 60% stocks, but replace the 40% bonds with 30% gold and 10% Bitcoin. When I loosely researched the intent of bonds in the traditional 60-40, bonds were supposed to provide a reduced volatility and also income, and gold and Bitcoin doesn't pay a dividend the way bonds do. Also, the signals for gold and Bitcoin are currently bearish and no position. So in this situation, are bonds the replacement, or are we just sitting cash or short-term treasuries until we get the yellow green light to get back in? There's not a lot of questions in options in the fixed income sector. So excellent question that I love geeking out about portfolio construction. This is my core competency. So let's start with the sort of first question part of the question, which is bonds were designed to provide reduced volatility and also income. They certainly provide income. But the point we're making on the income side is that income is likely to be negative on a real basis based on the primarily on the choices that the sovereign is likely to make in increasing quantities throughout their duration of this fork turning, or whether you want to borrow Ray Dalio's big cycle framework until the big cycle is, concludes, or if you want to borrow Peter Turgeon's lead overproduction framework until the empire collapses. I don't know what the right answer is on that. That stuff's too beyond my pay grade, but the key takeaway is that based on where we are in this process, from an empire building standpoint, from a debt standpoint, and ultimately how we deal with some of these big geopolitical and domestic political issues, it's highly likely that the central bank and the Treasury and the Fed will continue to do things that reduce the real return on bonds in a way that is very favorable for the performance of gold and Bitcoin. In another way, and as a function of that, you're highly likely to see increased volatility in bonds. We talked about yesterday how we were essentially undergoing a reversal of the Great Moderation. And a reversal of the Great Moderation is essentially a cause for a decline in excess savings around the world. Recall that we were building excess savings in a way that caused bond prices to go persistently up and yields to go persistently down. It allowed inflation to go down. We had an excess and abundance of supply. Right now, we have a deficit of supply across many critical industries and resources in the economy, and that is obviously being taxed in a massive way by AI at the current juncture. So that's orthogonal in addition to everything we're talking about from a geopolitical standpoint. So the reduced volatility and income that bonds have provided in the Great Moderation era, when they were a perfect diversifier for stocks, is no longer true. And another thing that's no longer true is the fact that bonds are now positively correlated with stocks, which also increases the volatility of your overall portfolio when you have positively correlated assets. So bonds are not a good portfolio diversifier. We've been saying this for years. Many Wall Street firms, many of the largest wealth management platforms across global Wall Street followed us in pivoting out of bonds and into gold. We were among the first to break the 60-40 portfolio on Global Wall Street, and now we're seeing it's now everybody's doing it. So that's how you know we had a good idea there. And then finally on the income thing, I'll say just in terms of bonds paying a dividend. So KISS is designed, when it raises cash, to park the money in income generating assets on the cash side of things. Right now, KISS currently uses floating rate treasuries, which are currently yielding about 4% in the cash. So when gold and Bitcoin aren't, you know, generating capital appreciation, then KISS will generate income in the form of interest rate payments, in the form of fixed income coupons on the short end of the treasury curve. However, I know we have many customers, particularly on the investment advisor side of things, in our Porter Pro community, that are using, you know, when KISS raises cash, they'll go to something like bank loans if we're in a risk on market regime. They'll go to something like muni bonds or ag, or, you know, the core fixed income aggregate if we're in a risk off market regime. You know, they'll be a little bit more dynamic in terms of how their customized versions of KISS for their clients raise cash. So that's those are interesting thoughts there. Consult our KISS FAQ if you want some ideas on how to customize KISS for your risk tolerance and strategic investment objectives. And then the final thing I'll say is that, you know, there's this view that, you know, gold and Bitcoin don't pay dividends, therefore bonds are better assets. Just a reminder, on a total return basis, which factors in the dividends of the coupons, since we did that and we first outlined KISS and introduced KISS in January 2023, Bitcoin has returned 188% and TLT is down 8% on a total return basis, coupons included. Since we included gold in KISS, we placed the 30% target allocation to ag with gold in KISS in September of 2024. Gold is up 55% versus TLT being down 1% on a total return basis. So don't forget that when bond prices go down, the decline in the bond price can actually erode your entire coupon payment. And so you're sitting there collecting quote unquote dividends while at the same time your portfolio was going down in value. If I were you, I would much prefer a portfolio that is going up in value to the tune of 188% in Bitcoin or up 55% in gold. And obviously we're not long those things at the current juncture. So we're clipping the coupon, which is the whole point of the risk management overlays in KISS. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dale here presenting our Macro Minute for Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Best of luck out there today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.